Hey, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
How's it going? I got my booster today, so I'm kind of worried about my arm right now.
Ugh, punky booster. I made that joke the other day to someone, and they were like, I don't know what you're talking about, because they are all children, and we are elder millennials.
Yeah, something like that.
Butthole Don. Uh-huh. So much butthole, but we're not going to do everything that we got. But we are recording this pretty quickly after we dropped the first episode, actually less than about 24 hours since.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of talk about the subtitles issue that happened when Big was singing.
Yeah, funny.
And it's a thing that everyone experienced, and except for me, because I clearly just missed it. Shocking. And it's Portuguese.
Gotcha. Portuguese. I think maybe it didn't happen to you maybe because you were watching with subtitles.
Yeah. Oh, the subtitles just popped up.
Yeah, it was just for this. It was just the lyrics of that song, like, just started appearing on the screen, but not in English. But maybe because you already listen, maybe because you already watch with subtitles, that, like, overwrote it.
So that's also why everyone noticed, because I was like, gosh, a lot of people watch with subtitles.
Yeah, no, it just happened. It just happened out of nowhere.
Yeah, so that is happening. And also, Peloton has released a commercial. Have you seen it?
I haven't watched it yet, but I did see that it existed.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's Mr. Big is sitting on the couch with Jess King, who is the Peloton instructor, and just talking about, like, going for another ride. And it's like, and just like that, he's alive. And they really did that in 48 hours. I kind of read up on that.
Oh, funny.
Yeah, so they did that within 48 hours. And however, the way that I was reading the article about it, and that is also Ryan Reynolds doing the voiceover, who also did the commercial when Peloton, I think, got into some hot water last year for the other commercial they did.
Right.
And I do think that maybe they had an idea of what was going to happen. They just didn't know how people were going to respond to it. So that's most of the feedback that I got, was mostly about everyone else dealing with the subtitles, that Lily ruins everything, and that Peloton did release that statement.
Yeah, I think because obviously they couldn't just use Peloton on the show. Like, they had clearance to use it. My understanding is that Peloton didn't know in what way they were going to be used. Mm. And so maybe that was also part of it, was they were like, oh, we didn't know that was how we're gonna, our product is gonna be featured on your show. But, like, obviously there had to be clearance to use it in the first place.
Yeah, and New York Times released an article saying, like, can Peloton sue, and just like that.
That seems like that would be silly, but
yeah, that would be a bit much.
Yeah. So my only quick catch-ups are, first of all, I feel the need to acknowledge, so I edit these episodes, and I definitely have moments as I'm editing where I'm like, I wonder if I can, like, re-record myself, or, like, you know, because I do want to acknowledge that I said iPod 3 times in the last episode, when clearly I was trying to talk about my iPad, which is what I take my notes on, but I say over and over again.
I heard it, and I just, like, honestly was fully committed to the fact that you had an iPod, like an iPod Touch, and I wasn't surprised by it. I was like, yeah, that's Mike DVD player Jensen has an iPod.
Yeah, I wish my shuffle, I still have my iPod shuffle, and I wish that it worked, but it doesn't work anymore.
And then, do you want to talk about your description of the episode? Or no, you don't care about that?
Oh, where I said it was... No, it's fine. Though you'll know that you were amongst the first listeners to our episode. So I also write the description, and I want it to be known that I finished the edit legitimately at, like, 12:45 in the morning, hours before it had to be, before it was going to be released. And I was very tired. It had been a very long day. But I scour my descriptions to make sure that I haven't written anything incorrect. And I just somehow missed the fact that I described it as recapping the fist episode of the series. So you'll know that you were amongst the first. I have since corrected it, but you'll know that you were amongst the first to listen to the episode if in fact it does say that it was the fist episode, which does hurt me a little bit. I will say that it was noticed on an Instagram post that you had done, and I actually did feel better knowing that it was my fault that it had happened. So, you know, it's
all
fine.
Yeah, a friend of ours texted us and said there's a typo calling it the fist episode, and I was just convinced it was me, but it wasn't.
No, it was me. I called it the fist episode.
And thank you to everyone who's been sharing this. incredible how many people shared this yesterday and are talking about it. It's really interesting doing a podcast about a show that's currently on air.
Yeah.
And like having almost like everyone along with you. It's a completely different experience.
Very different experience.
Yeah. So.
Because, well, that'll probably pop up as we go along, because of course I've already spoken to people about the first and second episode. So we'll see how that affects us as we go along. So today we're talking about Little Black Dress. It also debuted December 9th, 2021, written and directed by Michael Patrick King. And as we start, I want to point out that you made two predictions on our last episode, and one of them kind of comes true. We'll cover it as we go along. But there's a turtle in an aquarium, and we will eventually find out that he is in fact 17 years old, and he is just having some sex. Ride me, cowboy.
Yeah, it's pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's very uncomfortable.
There's some CeraVe lotion on the bedstand, nightstand, which we're pretty sure we know what that does. And just don't do that in front of the turtle.
Yeah, in front of the turtle and where your pet, like, so the sound is reverberating upstairs. Who wants to be overheard by their parents? This is just like a minor step away from the creepy guy that Miranda went out with that wanted to get caught by his parents in the bedroom. Like, who wants this to happen?
Yeah, and also, sure, Steve maybe can't hear it, but he can feel it because those pictures are shaking.
Like, it seems insane to me. Like, I sort of want, because it also calls into question what kind of person Brady is. Because we're going to get into it as we go along that he seems like a nice enough kid. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this storyline. And I also did write that the Steve is deaf thing might get old. Because we're only two episodes in and already I'm kind of like done with the Steve being like, bah. Huh?
Well, here's my, I don't know if I talked about this. It's funny because I've been talking about this a lot. So I don't know if I said this in the last show, but someone else said that they thought it was kind of rude that they're making like Steve hard of hearing. And I think what's happening there is they're trying to show, because it's often said that, you know, when men get older, they just get sexier. And I think they're trying to show that there is an aging process for men too, and that it's not all glamorous for men, and women, it's, you know, wrinkles and gray hair, and for men it's like wrinkles and gray hair, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But he does have a CPAP machine next to him too. I don't know if you noticed that, for sleep apnea.
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't necessarily notice it, but I am familiar with those. So the phone rings, and watching it the second time, I had to sort of remind myself, because I think I did say this last week, that I'm watching it once, trying to just watch it for pleasure before I then sit down and watch it to take all of my notes.
I did that too.
So watching it the first time, it definitely, the phone ringing felt ominous because we know where the storyline is going, because it's obviously Carrie on the phone. And we get to Miranda at Carrie's, and I wrote, F word. I don't know if these two are just fantastic actresses, but I'm already crying.
I knew you'd be crying, but also before that too, when Steve makes the comment, who's calling on the landline? Which is funny because Carrie always called on the landline, and of course it's Carrie.
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's certain people in my life whose phone numbers I have memorized, but it's only up until I got a cell phone. So
yeah, absolutely.
That would be true. Yeah, I knew that for sure you would be crying at this point, and where she said, no, what do I do now? Like,
yeah, she has the, what do I do now, sort of as the, is it called a gurney in this situation, where it sort of like wheels behind her? Yeah. And I guess they take him away, and I just wrote, death is fucking crazy. And I wish that I had better details of this, but there's the whole thing where, like, if you die at home, like, you have to be declared dead at a hot, like, it's a whole thing to, like, be declared dead, and I don't know, it just, I, as someone who hasn't had to, I mean, I have certainly had family members who pass away, including my dad, but like, I haven't ever had to deal with the immediate aftermath, and it just does feel like an insane process.
Yeah, it's, and also just like watching him being wheeled away.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't, I've once again not had to experience that, so I just feel like that must, I cannot imagine what that feels like to bear witness to in person.
But I will make it known, we don't see who's in that body bag.
Yeah, we can go ahead and say that the one thing you got wrong is that he's definitely dead.
Show me his face, because we don't see it in this episode.
All right, Elise. Elise is going to be of the of the opinion that if you didn't see a body, they're not dead. That's the Game of Thrones way of looking at things. Okay. So Miranda's in bed with Carrie, and we have some big flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie's back is sore, and sometimes Big would rub it. And so Miranda kind of like rubs her lower back, and we have the words flash upon the screen, and just like that. So we are officially not going to have an opening credit sequence. Sometimes they save it for the second episode, but we're not going to do it. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I like that. I like that we're not going to try to, you know, capture lightning in a bottle twice. Is that a saying?
Have we seen this before with Miranda spooning Carrie, or am I just making that up? Did it happen when, like, someone left her, or when Natasha and Big got married, or any of those moments? Or
I don't think so, but I'm open to people telling you that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So Carrie's looking up funeral homes, and I do like that we have, you know, sort of allusions to COVID, as, like, I think some of the headlines are, like, how to, like, do this safely.
Safely, yep. And she looks at the Elliot J. Ashcroft funeral home. Is that a real place?
I don't think so. I didn't look it up either, but I'm going to assume that it is not a real place. Miranda asks if she got any sleep, and we sort of have a thing of Carrie saying that Miranda needs to get sleep before school, and Charlotte's going to be there. And I did have that moment, and this doesn't end up happening, that I was like, is Miranda going to use this as an excuse to not go to class?
Oh, yeah. And we're look for some booze in Carrie's house.
Yeah, exactly. But instead, we cut to Stanford getting home, and they sort of pledge to not be petty anymore. But of course they will. I don't know.
I have a question. So this was something a friend of mine brought up. So, and I don't agree, but Miranda has this thing like, where's the coffee? What are you talking? What? Where's the coffee? What are you doing? Like, it's this whole thing where Carrie's not paying attention. And my friend said, oh my gosh, are they introducing that, like, Carrie might have a dementia plot line? And I don't think that's true. I think Carrie's just grieving.
I think that's all that it is, too. Okay. I think that it's just, I think it's just showing that her head is not there.
Yeah.
That her mind is sort of elsewhere.
Yeah.
So then, so we immediately have them, are you wearing that cologne I hate? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do with this couple.
Stanthony.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of, I was a little sad seeing them say, like, we got so lucky, and knowing what happens with Willie Garson.
100%. Yeah. I mean, and I've read that other places, too, that the sight of Stanford, you know, at a funeral is even a little bit out of body to watch. Adds a whole new dimension to the elements of the series. So we have them at the funeral home, and this is the Hamptons space, and how many participants will you be expecting? And that does sort of, and I guess this is the idea that it has just happened, so they haven't really planned anything yet.
Right.
I don't know. It's
I mean, I thought it was weird because I have seen funeral directors before, and I have been with people when they go to these things. And this guy seemed a little bit peppy, like he was like selling you on an event space for a wedding. Also, like, referring to them as event spaces.
Right.
I don't know if that's the lingo, but it just felt weird. How many participants? And this just brought me back to the first movie with, like, Carrie, don't make it too big. He doesn't want a circus. Like, keep the guest list small. And this actual building is the Astor House, which is on East 80th Street. And before it was the Astor House, which is an event space where they do a lot of, like, private stuff. It was the Junior League, which was, like, you know, a woman's, I think it's like one of those things where you do community work, but it's actually like a social club.
Gotcha.
That's kind of the vibe I was getting from it. So, yeah, that's what that space actually is.
And then Charlotte and Carrie are left alone, and it sort of brought up that, like, Big would hate it here. It's all about old people and death. And Carrie references the irony of the Hamptons room, and Charlotte says how sorry she is. And then we get to Charlotte feeling like Carrie feels like it's all her fault. And I want to really quickly parse that language, because it's not Charlotte feeling like it's all her fault. It's Charlotte feeling like Carrie feels like it's all her fault. And I think that's an interesting way to phrase that.
Mm.
And I guess it's just making it more about, like, I'm worried how you I don't know. It's not quite an I statement.
Right. And also it's interesting because this is usually, like, Carrie making things about her.
Yeah.
But she's not.
Yeah, and I wrote, note to everyone, don't make things about you. And I get that if Charlotte has this feeling that she needs to bring it up. And I did feel for her character. Like, I did feel for Charlotte in this moment of her, clearly her grief and her guilt, her feelings of guilt over the situation. But I also did have that thing of, it's such a thing when someone experiences loss that that they then have to comfort other people who mm-hmm. come to them with their grief. I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely, I don't know, just something to think about. Because then Charlotte gets confused for the widow. They assume that
yeah, when
Charlotte is the one who's lost a spouse.
When Jane Hayes, the primary mortician, comes in. Jane Hayes, I just need to talk about her look for a moment, like this costume that they have her in.
Okay.
It's very like Victorian lady meets Thoroughly Modern Millie. It's like halfway Anne of Avonlea, halfway Millie Dilmount.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't really notice her outfit so much, but that's not unusual for me. Yeah, so they correct as far as who the widow is, but Charlotte can't stop crying. So Carrie just kind of gets them out of there, and Jane tries to stop them and like, don't leave because I made a dumb mistake. And I don't know. It's a weird scene.
Yeah, and this moment, Jane Hayes makes it about her now. So it's like,
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's a lot. And I do feel like as a professional, I would be surprised if someone would act that way. I guess that like we're going for the comedy, that obviously this is a sad episode and a sad situation. So they're trying to like bring out the comedy wherever they can. It just doesn't always work for me.
Right.
But I have a lot of moments where I'm like, we don't have to make that scene funny. Let's go ahead and just like let it be what it is. And I guess one could argue, is this still a comedy? Like, it is a longer format. Is it more of a drama now? I feel like my HBO Max describes it as a dramedy now. So I don't know. I guess we're straddling the two different worlds at this point. Because now we're outside and Charlotte says that it should be her putting Carrie in an Uber. And Carrie says she might prefer to be alone, which feels her reading of it feels a little shady of like, I think I'd rather be alone. And Charlotte says to call Miranda and then says that she'll do it. And yeah, it's just a quick send off of Charlotte here.
And Carrie has this WNYC tote bag, which I don't know. I mean, it was interesting because in last week's episode, I said, oh, that Vote NYC sticker is very Carrie Bradshaw, but it's actually not, because Carrie Bradshaw, remember, wasn't even registered to vote.
Right.
It's actually very Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, that's probably true.
And I get that confused sometimes. And the same with the WNYC tote. I'm like, would Carrie have had a WNYC tote, or would she have had some like fabulous Chanel bag?
Probably.
But Sarah Jessica Parker would have had the, yeah. So that's,
yeah,
I see a little bit more SJP in Carrie Bradshaw now.
And Carrie walks by the East Pole, which is on East 65th Street, where she sort of, I guess, looks at that couple, sad that she's not a couple. I guess that's what we're going for in this moment.
I think she looks at that couple because he's reminiscent to her of Big.
A little bit. Yeah, I can see that. So we have Miranda going through security and she has a lot of books. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Wallace is right behind and can't find her ID. And I have mixed feelings about this because part of me is like, step out of line and tell you, I don't know. It seems weird that she's,
right.
It seems weird even for this, not that we know this character well. And I am not someone who likes to say that character would never do that, because we all do things that we think we wouldn't do. But I do have that moment of like, if you can't find your ID, just step to the side for a second. Like, you are holding up the line.
Yeah, but it is like one of those moments that I think she would normally have stepped out of line, but for this moment in the show, they needed her to stay in line so that way Miranda could have this cringe moment again.
Yeah, because Miranda tries to vouch for her, and I wrote, this scene is weird, but I guess fine. I don't know. It's just an odd scene where she's...
But
I think that she's alluding to the fact that the security guard won't let her pass because she's a woman of color, and so I get what we're going for, but it's just very weird.
Well, and I love the way, though, that Naya kind of doesn't call her out, but is just like, settle down. I think that this is such good work on her end. Like, the acting, I thought was great.
I just had to say something.
Did you?
Excuse me?
Did you have to say something?
Oh, one of the important takeaways I got from How to Be an Anti-Racist is if you see something, you have to speak on it. You have to call it out.
Well, that's very noble of you, even if a tad bit white savior complex. But the reality is you just inflamed a situation. It was perfectly fine. He needed to see my ID. It was somewhere in my bag. This isn't To Kill a Mockingbird. I don't need a good-hearted lawyer to defend me.
I'm sorry.
I appreciate it. But it's not necessary to apologize. We're all just here learning, right?
It is an interesting conversation and just sort of brings up the white savior complex, and we sort of end with, you know, Miranda is old school with her books.
Mm-hmm. This actually isn't Columbia too as well. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's a building in Midtown where they did a lot of filming, and it's like it's just one of the New York law buildings or something, but it's not Columbia.
And I will say that I have this same sort of thing with books, that I recognize that e-readers or that kind of thing are better for the environment, but I still really like a book. I still really like to like hold a book in my hand and turn the page. So in this case, I am a Miranda.
I am the same. Yeah, I don't like a Kindle or an e-reader. It's too much.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. So we're getting ready for the funeral. So we've have a bit of a passage of time, I'm guessing. I guess maybe just a week or so. We're getting ready with Lily and Rose. And I thought we could take a moment because this is, you know, Kathy Ang and Alexa Swinton are the actresses who play these daughters. And they're both relatively new. Alexa has actually done a little bit more. The actress who plays Rose has done a little bit more. But they're both like relatively new. And we kind of touched on this last week, but I just really like both of them.
Yeah, me too. You know, I think that they're both just so grounded in what they do.
Yeah.
And at first I was, I don't know if you had this thought, probably not, but I was thinking, what is Lily dressed as? Because when they first zoom in on her, she kind of looks like a Samantha doll, like American Girl, because she has that bow and that very Victorian blouse. But then we just realize she has jeans on. So I think that's just like a trendy shirt. But it does look, it's like another half Victorian hybrid moment. But yeah, with them both just sitting there and comforting their mom and showing that they are sad. And what does this mean for Aunt Carrie? You know, is she going to be alone now?
And sort of brought up like, why do we wear black? And, you know, Rose isn't feeling happy either. And we get to like, death is a part of life. It's the saddest part, but it's also a really important part. And, you know, not to go way off topic, but it reminds me of, there's the moment in The Hours where it's like, why does someone have to die? And the answer is, someone has to die so that we appreciate life more. And I was reading some stuff with Michael Patrick King because they were bringing up like, why did you do this? Like, why would you kill off this character? And he was kind of saying like, I wouldn't have done this series if we weren't going to kill him off, because what is the point of us just going back and showing the same stories that we've done? Like, he talked about the finale of the original series and the whole idea of the most important relationship you have is with yourself. And talking about friendship, and then if you can find somebody with you, that's just fabulous. But that he really wanted to get it back to the relationship with yourself and how your friends are there for you and how your friends get you through these moments. So I do think that that's kind of like the setup of this series, is simply like, let's get back to where we were before. So whether or not you are upset about Big dying, it was the point. It was the point of the series. Yeah, and is Aunt Carrie all alone now? And then Lisa's there for lunch because Charlotte forgot to cancel, and I guess I'll buy it. It seems a little bit strange.
Well, so far, like, LTW is just popping up places.
Yeah,
we don't,
yeah.
Like, we haven't really delved into her storyline yet. I'm excited to see where it goes. But right now, she's just popping up randomly. And yeah, wouldn't LTW have heard that Big died? I don't know.
Maybe,
but she's
not
here,
yes,
for lunch.
Odd.
She gets it. She's going to go.
She lost her father recently. Yeah, it's all fine.
Mm-hmm.
So we get Miranda and Steve brings up the bike. And so I do want to talk about the bike, because there's been a lot of people of like, he shouldn't have been exercising, or he shouldn't have.
What was he even doing on that bike?
Right, yeah. And Miranda makes the point that it wasn't the bike. Also, Steve clearly works out. That's a whole separate issue. But like, Steve's clearly like on a bike or something. And I think the point is made of like, he has ridden this bike 1,000 times. This is just a thing that happened. Like, as we get into blaming, and as we get into like, if he'd only gone to the Hamptons, or if he like, he was gonna have a heart attack. He was not in good health. He had had heart problems in the past.
And Steve says like, I'm just trying to make sense of it. And I have experienced this with men in general, that a lot of times women, I have found, we tend to be a little bit more in acceptance and just like, okay, this is hard and we don't understand why, but you know, we're not trying to find the tangible reason. And a lot of times, a lot of the men in my life are like, well, how did this happen so that I don't have to, like, so it doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, it's that idea of like, if I can only figure out why it happened, I can stop it from happening.
Right, and
me.
I think that's
sure
what Steve's
that
doing. Yeah, Steve's probably like, shit, I'm at a similar age and, you know, what did he do wrong? And how can that not happen? And I don't want to leave Miranda and Brady. And he sees Carrie going through all this, which is when we get to, you know, just that simple, like, that sucks.
Yeah, death sucks.
And then Brady, you know, come over here and he's like, nah, I'm good. And then when they say, well, we're not. And I love that moment.
Yeah. So we've talked about, I've mentioned Niall Cunningham, who plays Brady before. He was on a TV show called Life in Pieces that I really, really liked. And he's also relatively new. Like, he's done a bit of work, including that series. But yeah, they bring him in for a hug, and it's actually really sweet. And this is once again where I can't quite get a handle on who this Brady character is. And I guess maybe he's just a 17-year-old straight male, and I just don't know what that means. Like, I don't get who that is. But yeah, but it is sweet. I actually end up really liking this moment with the three of them embracing. So we have Carrie on the phone. She's checking on the sound quality, so we're getting clues that there's going to be some kind of audio component to what we're going to see. She wants to make sure that everything is how she wants it.
And she passes the Peloton in that moment, and I was just thinking, you know, I feel like that bike should have been carried out with the body, because every time she passes it now, she's going to see it and just, you know, get it out of there.
Yeah.
She doesn't need it. She's not going on it.
I mean, shopping is her cardio.
Right.
Whatever. It makes me crazy. Yeah, and he has a lot of suits. And I know this, my practical mind goes right into, like, those suits can do a lot of people good. Like, donate those suits. Like, there are men out there that need suits. And she may. And we have a moment where she sort of, like, leans in. It's a touching moment. Yeah, absolutely. So we're at a chic place for a funeral with Stanford and Anthony. And thank God for these lesbians, which is what I say every time a new Indigo Girls album comes out.
And this place is the Green Naftali Gallery. And it is in Chelsea on the west side, like the far west, like 10th Avenue and 28th Street, I want to say.
It's 26th. It's West 26th, right by the High Line.
Yeah, and there's a ton of galleries over there. Also, when they first walk in, you see a sign that says occupancy of more than 175 people is unlawful. So no worries, big. There will not be 250 people here.
Yeah, it's a very stark white space. It does make sense as a gallery. And she had said no flowers. Like, there's a large display on the coffin. And as she goes to investigate, Stanford is proud of her and calls her, she's kind of our Jackie Kennedy.
And Anthony's like, maybe don't say that.
Oh, I already did. And I have more notes on this later, but I feel like Stanford is a nightmare. Like, I don't remember him being a nightmare. Like, I remember him being, like, kind of quirky and a little annoying, but I just feel like he's straight up, like, a crazy person now.
I mean, we all get a little weird as we get older,
yeah,
I think,
maybe
too.
That's what it is. Yeah, okay.
You know, and I think in this moment, too, when things happen to people you love, you feel this responsibility to show up for them in a certain way. And I think you really start to... I think in this moment, he's... You know, I'm her best friend and I have to show up in this way. And I think he's kind of putting on a different hat that he probably doesn't need to be wearing.
And we're going back to people making it about themselves, though. Like, right. that is still what that is.
But that happens when people die. You know, when someone dies, it's that thing in Dear Evan Hansen. There's that moment in Dear Evan Hansen when every kid in the school is like, we didn't really know each other, but we were best friends. And,
right.
You know, and that happens a lot. And I think it's not intentional. I think we just don't know as a collective, like, there's no proper way to handle grief. Like, everyone just handles it differently.
Yeah.
And maybe this is Stanford's way of doing it.
I'll always a really vivid, not to make this about me, but a very vivid memory from my father's funeral is a very elderly man going up to my sister who was crying, who was clearly in the middle of, you know, expressing grief, and said to her, do you know who I am? And no, she didn't know who he was. And it was such a weird thing to, like, do to someone at their father's funeral that I had that moment of, like, wow, I'll just try to be so. And he didn't mean anything bad by it. I'm thinking he was probably trying to be like fun, or like, I'm like, person, blah, 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 blah. I still don't know who this person was. But yeah, be careful around people who are grieving. So the flowers came late. And the ladies in charge are like, you know, we know you said no flowers, but we wanted you to think about it and see them. And Carrie has the, where are they from? And I will say that I made a noise.
Yeah, this moment.
Yeah, it was a sort of a gasp slash choked cry. And I did it again the second time. Like, it wasn't a gasp again because I knew it was coming. But, like, just that, I mean, I could get... I know we like to joke that I'm, you know, made of steel, but I'm not. I cry all the time. And
we don't joke about that. You cry a lot.
Yeah. And even the second time when she pulls out that card, ooh, I can get weepy about it right now. Yeah. They can stay. The flowers can stay.
Yeah, they can stay. They love Samantha. And, you know, we were told that Samantha's going to be in this reboot.
Yeah. So the second prediction that you had said The thing you got wrong is that he's dead. We're not...
Still haven't seen him. That's a closed casket.
And now he's cremated, so you'll never know for sure. You will live the rest of your life not knowing.
Yeah.
But you said, what if Samantha shows up at the funeral? And I'm going to go ahead and give you at least partial credit for that one.
Thank you. Well, don't give me partial credit. Give Sarah credit, because she was the one that said, I think Samantha's going to show
up. All credit to Sarah.
Yeah.
Elisa knows nothing.
I know. I still don't know anything.
Yeah. Charlotte tells her everything is beautiful, and they offered her a rental casket. For the record, just get me a rental. Like, I don't need, you know.
Okay.
I'm putting you in charge of my funeral right now.
Thank
Elise.
You.
Just
Will
get me
do.
A rental. Spend as little as possible. Yeah, Charlotte brings up the flowers, and this is where, and I will say that I had one person say to me, like, do you think that Charlotte and Miranda really got the flowers and just put Samantha's name on it?
Oh.
And, Charlotte plays it that way almost, but Miranda definitely doesn't. So I see how you would get that from looking at Charlotte, because Charlotte is like, you know, it's good, right? And but Miranda's definitely surprised by it. So I feel like we can go ahead and debunk that theory. Yeah, so Brenda Vaccaro is here. So we finally get to find out who she's playing. I love that she's become our favorite person that we talk about all the time.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about Brenda Vaccaro as Gloria, Big Secretary. That's what she prefers to be called.
Yep.
Because, you know, as opposed to administrative assistant, she's got secrets. There's something else going on with this character.
We're definitely going to get there. So I did write a little bit about Brenda Vaccaro, just that she's known for Midnight Cowboy, and she was recently in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I will always know her from the not very good movie Supergirl.
Lots of Broadway stuff.
Yeah, lots of theater. Carrie talks to Gloria. How do you feel about hugs? We get to, and yeah, we quickly set up that she's no stranger and she knows things about Big. So yeah, I'm very curious to see where this character goes. Yeah. This is not just some random secretary. And we kind of find out that Big kept her on after most of the guys had fired their old gals. Yeah, and so we get Che. Che is there also, and you found out that Che was a bouncer at a dyke bike club.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I found funny about this interaction is Carrie was like, oh, you didn't have to come, or I'm surprised you're here. And Che said, it's someone you loved. And I just thought that kind of like undermined it a little bit.
I thought it was strange, too. It was someone you loved.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually my husband,
right,
who I also loved. But that did feel like a strange way of phrasing that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it was just some random person that you loved. Yeah, Stanford says that Gloria is in her seat. And I guess that my point is, he just could have handled this better. Like, there was a way to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm supposed to sit here. Like, he's just being a dick, and I don't understand.
Right, and this is where I thought that he was trying to assert his position or his authority of being the best friend, of being... like this person, like he's thinking, you know, I have to be here for Carrie. It's my duty. I have this responsibility.
Anthony offers to let her sit, and that's also not going to happen. Oh. And then Miranda wants a glass of Chablis.
Yeah, she loves Chablis. We've learned her drink of choice.
She likes Chablis, and she's family, and Steve sent the booze. But she's worried there's not enough wine for everybody.
And which she's not. She just realizes, like, bourbon will get to me quicker. So she gets a neat bourbon super quick. There's also, like, 8 to 12 bottles of Tanqueray back there, which there's enough booze for 175 maybe people. Yeah.
Stanford would have liked to have said a few words. And I wrote, was he a dick before? I know we've already covered this. So we don't have to again. But I just keep getting this with Stanford where I'm like, what is going on?
You've never been a Stanford fan. A Stanford stan.
I'm not a Stanford stan. And then I write, Carrie gets walked in by James Naughton?
Yeah. I mean, we'll get there.
Yeah. We'll get to it more later. But I had that moment of like, hey, James Naughton. So, Miranda gets up to speak. And I will say that I wondered if she had written this because it didn't feel like Miranda to me. Because it's that how lucky, how lovely,
mm-hmm.
how long, how large, how sad. And as she was reading it, I thought, Miranda wouldn't have written this. It feels very un-Miranda. It sounds like Carrie to me.
Yeah. And then, but that also that one line that he will leave a big...
hole.
I wasn't even like making the hole reference, Mike. I was just saying like that just felt like he will leave a big space would have been better. It just felt weird. It was a weird line.
Yeah. But we do find out that Carrie wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And Big's brother gets up to say a few words. James Naughton does not get a name. He is simply Big's brother.
But he was in City of Angels on Broadway.
He won his Tony Award for Chicago, though, right?
Yes. And he also was in Gossip Girl.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's done a ton of work.
As the grandfather of Nate Archibald.
So Big had never been happier. That's kind of the point of the speech is that, and I guess that's the way to go is when you've never been happier. A video starts playing to Hello, It's Me. So we have a revisit to the song from last week. And I mm-hmm. want to know everything about this video montage. Like, I want to know if that kid is
real?
Chris Noth.
Yeah,
yeah, I really want to know. It's sort of like, I know you didn't really get into this, but like the Secession opening credits are all like this family. And I want to like know what that photo shoot was like. I'm just very, I'm very curious about what went into like making this montage. And Gloria really starts crying.
Yeah.
And Chase sort of steps in with a tissue. And then I wrote, Susan Sharon.
Yeah, right? And she goes, am I the only one that remembers what a prick he was to her?
I laughed so loud.
And at first, before I realized it was Susan Sharon, I thought she was talking about Gloria. Like
gotcha.
She was another woman that worked with them in the office.
No, I knew it was Susan Sharon. Susan Sharon's there. So we're at the after is a reception. Is that what you would refer to this as?
Usually it's called a wake.
Cool.
But maybe, I mean, it's a wake when it's like we all go to someone's house after. It's not usually like. Funerals usually, in my experience, aren't in Chelsea art galleries.
Right.
So I'm
very few
I'm
of the ones I've gone
with,
to.
Yeah. You guys have potatoes.
We have funeral potatoes. They're usually done. There's always like a little cafeteria kind of thing near the chapel when we have our funeral. We have our funerals, our Mormon funerals.
Mm-hmm.
And will Charlotte walk Gloria out? And it's sort of referenced like there's a slew of papers to go through when Carrie is ready. What's gonna be in those papers?
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. As Gloria puts down that martini.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of setup going on right now. And Mitzi's back. So she was not just there to find out what happened to Samantha.
Yeah.
And we find out a pretty big piece of information here.
We lost Bobby.
We lost Bobby to COVID a year and a half ago.
But Scott Whitman is there.
Holy Moses. I honestly didn't realize at first who this was. So first of all, we're back to people making it about themselves, where Mitzi has to be like, I know what you're going through. No one else understands, but I know. And we kind of get into like COVID funerals, which really was a whole thing. We had a solid like year there of, you know, dealing with people passing away that you couldn't really be there for. I mean, I know that you experienced that to a certain degree and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's something that I guess we don't want to talk about a whole lot because it's a bummer, but it's a big thing.
No, it's real. I mean, I had two very, very close people in my life pass away during this time, and I attended the funerals on Zoom.
Yeah, yeah. And we meet Bobby's pianist.
Orchestrator.
How is that relevant today and here? I love that. Yeah, Kevin Silverton, played by Scott Whitman. And I didn't know that was him until I looked him up today. And I was like, oh, damn, he wrote Hairspray.
Yeah.
And Catch Me If You Can. And
I mean, I can almost, I don't know if this was what happened, but I can almost imagine that the line was his pianist and Scott Whitman just interjected with orchestrator.
I love how is that relevant today in here. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't know I know. What does that mean? That he's gay?
No, I think he's just saying he doesn't know what you're going through. I know what you're going through.
Okay, so
we're still having that.
Do you want to know my fan fiction?
Yes, absolutely.
So the he doesn't know I know, I was like, oh, maybe Bobby and Kevin had an affair the whole time they were together. Kevin is also heartbroken that Bobby is gone because they were like secret lovers. And so when Kevin walked away, she's like, he doesn't know that I know about their relationship.
Listen, that is could be just as accurate as my interpretation.
Yeah.
I did have that moment of like, please don't tell me this is her new husband.
Right.
Or is. Good for her. Good for everybody.
He has an ascot.
Yeah. So Susan Sharon is back. It's so nice of her to come. And I love that she's over it. It's in the past. Life is too short to hold a grudge.
What was the grudge?
No one knows. But what I like about this so much is that I can 100% see this being something that happens to me. I can absolutely, I can see myself being at something and having someone come to me and saying, Mike, it's good to see you. I just want you to know that I'm not mad at you anymore. And I would have no, like, I can absolutely see being in Carrie's shoes in this situation where something has happened. You've been in a fight with someone and you just didn't even know it.
Well, it reminds me of, we worked with this girl and she came into the restaurant and you're like, I've never worked with her. I don't know who she is. I've never worked with her. That must have been before me. I was like, no, Mike, you worked with her. You're like, I didn't. And then I like went on Facebook and found a picture of you with your arm around her and like sent it to you.
That's very me. That is a good summation of my personality.
Well, what happened with Susan Sharon? What was her...
No, the last thing was where her husband was awful to her.
Right, at Barzini's.
Yeah, and that was sort of it. And she ended up going back to her husband and Charlotte gave them the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, this story. I mean, I do love it. And it's that whole thing of like...
I mean, I know you have a lot on your plate right now. And I'm not expecting an apology or a mea culpa, so just consider this your get out of jail free card. I love you. I'm back. The end.
And I also love her exchange with Miranda, where she's like, it's good to see you. And Miranda goes, yes. This is comedy that's working for me. I'm enjoying this. Yeah, neither of them have any idea what's going on. And, you know, Steve asks Carrie how she's holding up. And I just have that thing of, like, don't everyone ask the person going through something how they're holding up. Like,
right.
I don't know. It just, once again, feels like a lot. And he tells Miranda that Carrie's so strong.
If it was you in that box, I'd be a mess.
And she's not even crying. And is that a good thing? I don't know. That's, everyone grieves in their own way. And I'm sure we're going to get to, like, Carrie needs to find that way to release the emotion. But, you know, people will get there when they're ready.
Yeah, I mean, I think when she says, like, is that a good thing? She means, like, she's going to blow at some point.
Right. So we get to Che and Brady are chatting and vaping or whatever. I don't know.
Smoking pot. Yeah, it is a pipe because she says, you know.
She says a pipe later, yeah.
My man dropped a pipe.
Miranda walks out and Brady throws the contraption to the floor.
The contraption?
That's what I wrote. I didn't know what it was. Do you know that one time I was managing at one of the downtown restaurants and a table got up and left and I walked over and I was like, they left their really fancy pen. And another server was like, that's not a pen.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, I don't know. I'm very cool. I said, this gets very intense very quickly. Is Miranda suddenly a fighter?
I think, once again, this is how, like, we're dealing with these people in extremely heightened situations. And I had to remind myself that even though it's Carrie's husband, all of these people, we don't know what's happened in the past 20 years. We don't know how close their relationship with Big has been. So Miranda's just possibly lost one of her best friends, too.
Yeah, I guess
so. You know, and everyone handles things differently. I love how, you know, she refers to Che as the funeral pot pusher. Yeah. And then he says, you know, Brady says, I was stressed. I just needed something. And Miranda says, maybe I should kill myself so you can try crack.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. We do discover officially that he's 17 and now there's no Louisa for a week. And now you sound really crazy. And it's quite the row. And Miranda goes to find Steve, but immediately Carrie makes an introduction. And I do like that Carrie introduces Miranda as her ride or die, because mm-hmm. I think it's important to establish with Che right away, this is my person. So at least one way to the other, Che is able to be like, okay, this person is very important. And I think that because then Miranda tries to make it better, but Che takes the blame. And I do love the line. I just assume that the correct behavior when you're being accused of doing something inappropriate with a boy is to walk away. It's pretty good. Yeah, I feel like Che handles this very well.
Honestly, it was very cool how you protected him out there.
I guess I'm kind of like a mama bear when it comes to my kid.
Mama bear? Honey, try Papa Bear. Okay, like a big daddy silverback Papa Bear, like, rah!
Okay, can we talk about that, though?
Okay.
Because I think it's interesting, in particular, this character stating a difference between a mama bear and a Papa Bear.
Oh.
Any thoughts? I was just surprised the emphasis of like, no, you're not a mama bear, you're a papa bear. And me kind of being like, huh, I get what you're saying, but it felt strange for me.
Right, because the emphasis of this character was about them, like, gender nonconforming.
And the idea that a papa bear would somehow be stronger or fiercer than a mama bear, I don't know, we don't have to get into it. It just struck me as an unusual piece of conversation.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that. I guess, you know, thinking of it now, like, sure, maybe not applying the gender to it, like, no, you're like a big silverback.
Yeah, I don't know, it was just strange, and we sort of get the, like, let's start again,
you know. But once again, like, kind of what Naya said in Columbia, like, we're all learning.
Yeah.
And evolving. And I think even as,
for sure,
people who are going through things, you know, whether it's your sexuality or expression or gender, like, I think we're learning as we go too.
So Miranda makes the same comment that I would have made, which is Che as in Che Guevara, and it's the first three letters of Cheryl.
Which I love. Yeah. And she's like, do I seem like a Cheryl? No.
Yeah. And she's like, Miranda doesn't seem like a Miranda, she seems like a Rambo.
And I just wrote, they'll end up together.
That's what someone else said, and I just sort of felt like, if that is what happens, that feels crazy. So I'm gonna vote that's not gonna happen, but we'll see how it goes.
Right, but would you, if I would have said to you a couple years ago, Mr. Big's gonna die on a Peloton bike, you'd be like, that's outrageous.
I would have said that he was gonna die. I'm gonna go ahead and point out that I predicted his demise.
All right.
So we get the three ladies on an elevator, and at least that's all behind me, and the hall is just full of stuff.
Who brings a gift from Bergdorf Goodman for a funeral?
Well, also, who sends a balloon that plays Good Times?
Yeah, well, so Miranda can have that line.
Yeah, I guess so. So, I wrote Charlotte is creeping. That's not what she's doing. She's sleeping. And Carrie's up looking at her phone. Now, did you look into these messages and when they were sent?
I didn't look into when they were sent. I looked that it's a different phone. I said, Carrie also has a BlackBerry, or so does she have a BlackBerry and an iPhone, or is this one of those like Merit Marlboro Lights things?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't notice that. I just noticed that the dates, you have to go back to 2018 for those days and dates to line up, which was surprising to me that it was that long ago that this fight would have started. I just assumed that it was like beginning of COVID and that's why they wouldn't have had, you know, a chance to get back together, because then maybe Samantha could claim that she was stuck in London. But no, this happened in the spring of 2018.
Wow.
So it's been a while. And you can see her kind of, you can see Carrie kind of like trying to figure out what to text and what she should send to her. She doesn't send anything in the end, right? She ends up just putting the phone back down.
Yeah, she doesn't send anything.
So we got Dr. Wexler on the platform with Miranda, and Miranda kind of makes a heavy book joke.
And then we have a person dressed as a Chucky doll.
Yeah.
Running on the platform, which was a thing for a minute.
Was it? Okay.
People were like dressing up as scary things and like making videos on trains for a hot minute. I mean, people do this stuff all the time for stunts. So yeah, this kid dressed as a Chucky doll was trying to scare people, but then he ended up trying to steal Naya's purse where Miranda hit him with a book.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, being scary on a platform is very different than trying to steal someone's purse. Yeah, the heavy book comes in handy. And what this, it was just a moment where like then the hooligans get on the train. It was very odd. It was just an odd, like, I guess they're going to get away and that's fine. And Miranda has her, it was unclear to me whether that was a white savior moment or not.
And she goes, it's an any kind of savior will do moment, which to me just sounded like a cut song from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Any savior will do. And a Kindle would not have had the same impact.
No.
So we get to the doorman.
Good afternoon. Here's your dead husband.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
And I only looked it up because I thought his name was John for a second. And I was like, that's weird that we have another John here. But yeah, it's Joe. And just because I clicked on it, this actor is Patrick Noonan, and he's detected number 3 in the new West Side Story that just came out.
Whoa.
Just sort of popped up when I looked at it. Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it. I have many feelings, but let's continue. But go see it. Everyone should go see it. It's beautiful. It's like beautifully, beautifully filmed and amazing performances. So he delivers a package. Yeah, it's the ashes. Stanford and Miranda are there and the buzzer rings. I guess if you're rich, your buzzer doesn't go like mine does.
That's what Mike's buzzer does. And one time I thought he was just making that sound at me.
She thought that I was just like, anyway, I said to him,
and I was like, what? And he's like, that's my buzzer. Well, yeah, so they're drinking Gibson. Stanford, we know, loves a Gibson. He says, did I make this too strong?
All right. I wrote, can we talk about martinis and the word strong?
Right.
Can we talk about just martinis real quickly? Go ahead. You go first.
A martini is a classic cocktail made with gin and like a splash of vermouth. Like, I think like the traditional martini recipe is like 2.5 ounces of spirit, usually gin, and like 1/2 ounce of vermouth. It's all alcohol. You shake it, you stir it, you pour it in a glass. So oftentimes people will say like, ooh, this is too strong. Then don't order a martini. I think what people think a martini is anything that's served in that style of glass.
Sure, I guess. It makes me insane. Or like when someone's like, you made a good martini. I'm like, I put cold vodka in a glass. Like,
right.
Yeah, that's all. I wanted to get to that. Thank you for being on my side.
Yeah, so anyway, they didn't want, she didn't invite Charlotte because Charlotte's been making things about her, but she wanted Stanford to hide because Charlotte couldn't know that Stanford was here.
We have one of my favorite, I love just a simple, I don't know if it's how you want to consider it, like with a volleyball where it's like what spike shot kind of thing, where it's, if she sees you here, she'll think I didn't call her. Why would she think that? Because I didn't call her. I love it so much. It's such a simple joke, but man, oh man, it really gets me. And yeah, she tends to run a little emotional. So Miranda's there to stay the night. So Stanford says he doesn't think he's a good hider. And I did notice right away, like, he left his drink, but all he has to do is not come back into the room.
Right.
That's his only job.
Charlotte's not going to be like, whose drink is that? Also,
right.
Once again, for my theory, they don't pack a picture of what's inside that box.
What picture would that be?
Just like enclosed contents.
So of course, Charlotte sees him and I'm told you I'm not a good hider. All you had to do was stay in the room. That's all you had to do to be a hider, was just stay in that room. Mm-hmm. You had one job to do.
And then they just, like, unpack it.
Yeah, Charlotte's obviously upset and once again makes it about her, and she thinks it's because Carrie's mad at her over the recital, and she says that she's mad at herself because she should have gone to the Hamptons with Big on Wednesday.
Like I wanted to!
And then Phil's like, hey, everything okay out here?
Sorry, Phil. And Carrie tells the others to go inside, which I thought meant that she was going to have a conversation with Charlotte outside, but she has Charlotte come with her, and great, now I'm that neighbor. And, you know, Charlotte has her, you can't blame yourself. You can't. You didn't know Big was going to have a heart attack that night. And I just want to be like, no one can blame anyone. No one did anything wrong. Including Big. Like, no one did anything wrong. It's just a thing that happened. And I understand what you were saying earlier, that we look, certain people look for answers, but I don't know. I'm wondering how long. I understand that obviously his death is going to reverberate throughout the entire series, but I do wonder how long the guilt is going to go on for. And Stanford makes a dumb comment about the tracksuit, which is why Carrie called him and not Charlotte, which I think is something you don't need to say. Like, Carrie says, like, that's why I call him and not you, stupid. Doesn't really
say that.
I mean,
I think it's her way of being like, it's, I don't call him because he's a better person or a better friend. I call him because he makes me laugh.
I guess so. But I almost wish that Charlotte would have had the line.
Yeah.
Because it felt a little harsh for me of Carrie being like, I don't know. It kind of got me a little bit. So it's night and Miranda and Carrie in bed and Carrie's tossing a bit. And are you okay? I'm never going to fall asleep. Can you give me another pill? Not for 5 hours. That's a weird thing too for me where I'm like, it's not like, oh, not for 15 minutes. It's like, no, not for 5 hours. So you're probably not going to take another pill.
Don't put your friend with a possible addiction problem in charge of dispensing your pills.
Yeah, it felt a little bit weird. And Carrie gets up and goes to the other room to sleep on the couch because that's going to be easier to sleep on.
I thought that was why she did it. I think she did it to sleep next to Big.
Okay. No, guy. That makes more sense. They probably have another room, though.
Right, because he's right there on the table.
And just like that, I learned how long 5 hours can be. So now we know that that's going to be a thing. It looks like every episode's going to end with and just like that.
Yeah.
And that's this week. We learn how long 5 hours can be. And here comes the rain again plays. And just two quick comments about the closing credits. We still have an and Chris Noth. So I don't know if that's going to remain for the entire. There are different kinds of contracts. And some you sign that, like, you give me credit for every episode, whether I'm in it or not. Or maybe it's because he was still sort of in the episode with the clips they showed. So mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how that goes. I will also say our new best friend, Brenda Vaccaro, also gets an and of the guest performers. She gets an and Brenda Vaccaro. So
wow.
Good for her.
Yeah. Well, so I couldn't help but wonder, were there past hors d'oeuvres at the Big funeral after party?
I'm trying to think if I saw any.
I didn't. I mean, you can't be serving a bunch of grieving folks unlimited vodka without, you know, at least a pig in a blanket.
I was going to say, where are the funeral potatoes? But then again, we don't have booze at our wakes with the funeral potatoes. So I guess that's a little bit of a difference too.
So my question is, where are the hors d'oeuvres?
And mine was, I couldn't help but wonder why she thought she was going to sleep better on the couch. But I guess if the ashes were there, but I still think there must be a spare room. I still think you can take the ashes and sleep on a bed somewhere.
I don't think she wanted to pick him up and carry them with her.
But she will always carry him with her.
Okay. Bye.
That's all. I liked this episode. I feel like there were things about this episode that were just strange to me. I had a lot more moments on this one where I was like, why is that person doing that? But you're right. It is, we're seeing these characters for the first time in over a decade. And so people have aged and become mm-hmm. either more intense versions of themselves or maybe picked up some strange habits or mannerisms. But yeah, that's sort of where I am. I couldn't help but wonder why some people are acting the way that they're acting.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I just really need to understand what's going to happen with Gloria because I feel like she's got secrets.
Yeah, something's going to happen there. We're definitely setting up a future in which we discover things through that character. But I'm excited to see what it is.
What do you think it's going to be? Let's make a prediction. I think there's a kid out there. There's a child that she doesn't know about.
It's an interesting theory. I like that. I think it's going to have something to do with his ex-wife. I think it's going to have something to do with Natasha because we know we're going to see her again, right?
Yeah, yeah. Is she in the will, maybe?
She'll be around at some point. So I wonder. That's what I wonder. That's another thing that I'm wondering about. So we will see. We'll be back next week as we unpack some more. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. for more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend, take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, stay safe, and let's all take care of each other. We'll be back next week with When in Rome. Oh, you are an exclamation point now. Oh, we're back.
Okay. Did you toot a little bit too?
No, that's more of your style, Elise.
Thank you. Yeah, people are, I just got a text for Senator Schumer. People are...
Return that text.